Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Hi everyone, Alex here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Malaraza, Jasper, is the end looking for any sexy new avatars, Graham. Lay, Jean, Sharon V, Disaster Nick, Amanda Nengel, Kiora Hernandez, Shannon O'Leary, Annika Dumont Arvantis, Reagan Mellon, Jacob, Keelin Lawler, Felix Nicol, Jasmine Bloom, Brendan Abolivier, Lysimache, Aaron Bursar, Mandy, Zach Davis. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Welcome to the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM Alex, and you're with me today. I have
Ben Meredith,
Bryn Monroe,
Lydia Nicholas,
and Helen Gould.
And who are you playing?
Zolf Smith,
Hamid Salah Harun Altahan,
Sel Sightbottom,
Azu.
I should warn everyone, it's weird energy in the room today.
It's Alex, horrible energy!
Alex just threatened to kill us all.
It's horrible!
It's weird
both
energy.
In-game and
yeah,
out.
Yeah, we've had 3 months of no game, and we came back to being told, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, we had months of no game, then here's enormous high stakes, and then no game again, and then have come back immediately back into enormous high stakes.
Yeah.
So,
horrible.
There's going to be a lot of nervous tension, I think.
We're all, like, vibrating.
Yeah. Are you fine? I'm fine. Why are you saying that I'm not fine? What's your problem?
So, in terms of...
Everything's fine. This is the everything's fine song.
I can't believe that became a thing. Right. Okay. So, as it stands... The party is currently split because that's just what I love to do secretly.
Mm-hmm. Secretly?
Well,
it's very obvious that you love to hurt us.
In fact, Brynn is now starting to use all the miniatures laid out in a way that I find appropriate, which is he's starting to split the party.
Oh, I love,
no!
I love the Skrark mini. I love the Skrark mini so much. I have to say, thank you, Imogen, for these Hero Forge minis of all of our characters. It's fantastic.
They are so lovely.
It's really, really useful.
They're brilliant.
Means that I can do more complex things.
It's Oscar Wilde waiting in the wings. Yeah. With a band of heavily armed mercenaries, apparently.
Oh, you're assuming that they're all on the same side, aren't you? That's a fair assumption.
A band of heavily armed assassins.
Why is Wilde with some assassins who aren't on our side?
It depends how far you get. So.
He's been doing this for half an hour!
So, as a quick recap, we have Hamid and Skrark currently trapped in Harry Potter, specifically trapped in the chessboard where it appears to have been played out with a dead rogue. And I will remind you, in case it becomes useful, that there is the wall panel was how they got in. Like, that's obvious and was obvious to you then, but it has been a few months. For everyone else, you are currently in a long glass tunnel at the bottom of the ocean as well. Mm-hmm. This was a more kind of exterior, kind of perimetry one. Although you did all just get hit by a blue whale.
No.
The tunnel got hit.
And the windows may or may not have cracked.
And the whale was in pieces, which I think should count for something.
Mm.
Potato per crushed two tiny tin cans at the bottom of the ocean. As it stands, you were all heading along the corridor. A carcass of a whale hit it and was sliding down the outside. And you're all waiting to find out whether it was imploding, crushing.
Months.
I'm pretty sure we were running.
We were running, Alex. Oh, we didn't wait.
No, that is an inaccurate statement. Two of you were running.
I stopped.
Oh, I hate you so much, mate.
Good old Ben Meredith. Ben, tear up my character sheet,
Meredith.
I mean,
in a lot of ways.
Wait.
No!
I put a little speculative rip at the top of Zoff's character sheet.
Don't rip mine!
Alex faked it, but Hella reacted like he didn't.
Oh,
I'm not going to tear it up yet. You're fine.
Oh, no, look, I've just started. You know, I've got a nice... That's like on a piece of prepackaged food. That's the rip here tab.
Okay. So, also, good takeaway here is that, I mean, in a lot of ways, Azu knows that the reason that Grizzop died is because he, you know, opened his eyes and so on. So if Azu had only just taken the time to make sure that the rest of the party would not look back at things, maybe Zolf would survive this as well.
What's that back there?
In order to sort of find out what's happening in that corridor, I'm going to start with Hamid first.
Right. You absolute monster! I don't even respect your craft anymore! It's just a hodgepodge nightmare!
I will sacrifice the...
My nightmares are not hodgepodge. They are carefully curated, I'll have you know.
I don't know what goes on inside your brain. I definitely won't want to find out.
So, I will begin with Hamid. You are in the corpsed chess room with Skrark, who is still seemingly a little bit kind of... He's vaguely gesturing to his ears, but seems to be basically fine, as are you.
We're going
to
be okay, Skrark. We're going
to
be okay.
Skrark immediately goes over to one of the chess pieces and starts trying to move it.
No! These things might activate again if we play with them, Skrark. We're going to leave them alone. We found what we can find in this room, I think.
Have you ever seen disappointment on a kobold?
Yes.
No, obviously, yeah. No. Wait, what?
I look around the room, because earlier in this adventure, many, many moons ago, in some rooms, there were little... I want to call them Jeffrey's tubes, because
that's
I watched
what
too
I referenced
Star
them
Trek.
To, yeah, that's what I referenced them at the time.
Except they're not as large as Jeffrey's tubes.
They're Jeffrey's tubes for small creatures.
Jeffrey's tubes.
They were like tiny little access panel-y, like maintenance hatch tube things that were kind of kobold size, mm-hmm. and I reckon Hamid could just about fit through one.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any in this room?
There is one.
Which direction does it lead in?
It appears to be... So, can you give me a perception check? Alex has been playing a lot of Fifth Ed over the break and keeps calling for things that aren't Pathfinder. Get your head back in the game.
26.
What you spot is... It turns out there probably is one in the door that you came in into this room, and there is one on the far side. You also reckon that that side panel potentially leads to more of them, which is a bit incongruous because the rogue is medium-sized.
Okay, I'm going to get Skrark to stick pretty close to me, and I'm going to step into the wall where the panel is already off.
Step in's a very, very, very
I'm
specific...
quite small.
Do you mean smoosh yourself into?
Yeah.
Okay. So you can if you're on all fours. That's how you will fit in this
corridor. I take my sleeves off, put them back on, and suddenly I'm not wearing a three-piece suit.
Are you in a cat suit?
Four-piece suit?
A big fluffy parka.
No, I'm thinking proper a cat suit, but a really stylish one.
So I've just also been thinking, is the sleeve of many garments, right? Mm.
Yeah.
That's what Wallace wears in Wallace and Gromit, because he puts his sleeves on and then the cardigan comes down on top. He's not wearing a shirt. He's wearing sleeves and then, like, a vest shirt tank top.
Very well. You are now wearing a cat suit and looking in the corridor...
Don't want my clothes getting...
You don't want your non-existent clothes.
Yeah, the clothes are fake.
You didn't
they
go,
might get caught or
what
tangled.
What I love is that you could have gone overalls, but no, skin tight catsuit.
Yeah, like Black Widow.
I mean, yeah, ideally with the full zip down at the front as well. I'm assuming
anyone,
zip down to the
has
navel.
Has anyone seen Cats?
Yes.
Oh no, that cat. That's
that,
a cat suit.
That's
the
catsuit.
No, not
the
that sort of catsuit.
Yep.
No.
So Hamid
goes to a con.
So looking left and right.
Remember, I've still got my actual like.
cloak, my cape thing, though, because that's not part of the sleeve. So that still exists. So I have to, like, tuck it in, tie it down.
Tuck it into your trousers.
So you got, like, a really big bum.
Suddenly a booty.
I'll make sure that the you know, the catsuit
comes with,
like,
you're going to be taking penalties on your sneak checks because you're dummy thick.
No.
It's all cloak, but it's still there.
No. The cloak is not voluminous, that word.
Do you have low light vision or dark vision, as a reminder from
the
audience?
No, but I have the cantrip, dancing light.
I presume you cast it down there? Okay, cool. So, the corridor, I'm going to call it a corridor. It is a Jeffrey's tube. That's what it's built to be. It's a maintenance access. It's mostly pipes with a metal grating at the bottom and what appear to be, like, what Cell would recognise as electrical cables. But, I mean, you've seen technology stuff before.
Yeah.
It's full of that. It does look like you'll be able to crawl along. It'll be uncomfortable, but doable.
Yeah.
And it seems to extend in a significant distance both ways, either back towards the very entrance of the complex, which is...
The lift shaft,
you reckon.
Yeah.
Or onwards, bearing in mind that onwards leads past the room that you just flooded. Okay?
Is there any sign of flooding
in the tube? It's filthy. There's the... I finally get to do this legitimately. There is the occasional... But there's not actual... There's not actual
flooding. That came from his face!
But yeah, it doesn't look actually flooded. It looks damp. That's not really what we're talking about. Skrark is trying to push his head in as well, kind of awkwardly and past you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I want to find the rest of the party again. Bryn has no sense of direction, but I assume Hamid has at least a vague sense of what direction he moved in and what direction the party was moving in.
I have given you as much info as Hamid's really able to discern. Hamid believes one direction leads...
Well, I mean, this tube only has two directions, yes. Obviously, but I'm assuming there's a network between all the rooms. Like, it would make sense if there's going to be branches. And, you know, I want to head in the direction of the rest of the party, basically, which I guess is onwards rather than backwards.
It's a binary choice, and there will be consequences for either.
I go onwards.
Onwards. Skrark's quite enthused. If he's going in after you, he will keep trying to get ahead of you and kind of squeeze past you, like a dog that's trying to get through a doorway at the same time as you, because he's really keen.
I will let Skrark go first, but I will tell him not to go too fast.
Okay, cool. You head down this...
And I'll tell him to be careful. Like, it's unlikely there's traps in here because the traps were mostly on the outside, but we still need to be careful.
Skrark gives a little dragony salute and then starts humming his sneak song. Skrark! He's crawling along. At which point, there is a large vibration that runs through along the corridor. It shakes, it gives a bit of a... A pipe near you bursts with a little bit of steam, sort of psst, but nothing huge, and then it seems to settle down again, maybe with a little bit of a groan.
Helen is so on edge.
Right, drowning while in a small pipe is literally, like, what, just...
The worst thing.
The small spaces, and why did I give Azu
Helen.
My phobia?
Helen, you don't need to worry. I'm going to use this opportunity to jump back to the party, who are in a big pipe that's flooding. Now, to be specific...
Yeah, remember the metacast about sensitivity, eh?
I hid all the red cards so I can do anything. No. Jokes aside, don't do that. So, you are all currently in that long, sort of broken travelator corridor
running?
Thing.
Running.
No, two of you are running.
Yeah. I'm going to begin to... Well, actually, no.
I am going to describe what's happening, and then you're all going to roll for a fresh initiative because things got thrown up a little bit, and frankly, I can't remember what the initiative was.
Oh, no.
What happens is that large crack that was on one side of the corridor begins to extend in both ways along the corridor. Can everyone please roll initiative? I will be rolling initiative for the crack. It was a good idea. I wasn't going to do that, but now that Lid suggested it, I'm like, that's a good idea, Lid.
I'm getting to be a more experienced DM now, and you can expect more of these nuggets from me.
Experienced? Also synonymous with vindictive. I like it.
Yeah.
20.
Ooh. Oh, my.
12. 14.
Oh, look at you all being okay.
I assume you didn't need initiative from me.
No, you're probably all right. Can everyone clear the battle map, please? Actually, hang on a minute. Alex is going to do some quick maths. Don't bother. Their table is not big enough. It's a very long room. So, with that in mind then, we will start with Zolf. You've seen that the crack is going like extending lengthways along the tunnel. The carcass is still sliding down the side and seems to be exacerbating the situation.
It's not the normal scale.
This is your situation.
In which case, I take the run action.
Okay.
Like the way we were going, not
as in
back.
Carrying on.
Yes, carrying
on. Yeah, that's fine. Cool, in which case then...
My movement is 20 foot, so that's what, 80 foot?
Yep.
The crack seems to stabilise a little bit. It doesn't seem to be rattling off down, so it looks like, if nothing else, you seem to be leaving the point of impact behind. Insofar as, you know, the crack was extending, it seems to reach a natural stopping point as the carcass continues to slide down the side, leaving a bloody smear along the side of it. Cell, you're up.
Take the run action.
That's fine.
My base speed is 30.
Cool. And Azu?
Also running. My base speed is also 20, so I also moved 80 feet.
Okay, cool. In that case, then... Zolf, you are up.
Run.
That's fine, I assumed as much. At which point, the tunnel then does actually crack and shatter. It starts to vibrate. There's the distinct sound that we heard earlier in Hamid's version of a sort of high-pitched... And then suddenly, effectively, the end of the tunnel just crunches inwards. The water begins to pour into it. However, you've already covered, like...
160
feet. To be clear, though, this kind of water moves fairly rapidly. Mm-hmm. You do notice, however, it seems to be behaving slightly... Like, this is on the fly, so I'm not going to give you too much detail. It seems behaving slightly peculiarly. It's not just, you know, pouring in as you would expect, like a dam or something is. There's probably other effects. But nonetheless, yeah, the end has cracked and then just imploded, and water is pouring in extremely quickly and taking a chunk of corridor along for the ride. Cell, you are up.
I keep running.
You are one... At your current speed, you are one move away from being at the next circular door.
One move or one run action?
Sorry, one run action. That's a good point. Yep. One run action.
I'll take the run action again. Do I have enough time to start fiddling with the door to get it open?
Mechanically, no.
Okay.
But you are now at the door.
That's cool. I can start opening it next turn.
In which case, then, Azu, you are up. If you take the run action because your move speed is slightly less than Cell's, you will still have a bit of distance to close in order to reach the door.
I think... What I'm probably going to do is I'm going to use my move action again, and then next turn I'm going to drink my water breathing.
Yes! Yes! Good point. So drinking... Alex is going to double check this. Yeah, so it's a standard action. So what you could do is you could move at your normal move pace and drink a potion, or you can do the run for the extra distance, but you can't do both.
Question for you. Mm-hmm. How far until the end of the tunnel?
Cell has reached
the end of the tunnel.
Which was 240 foot total movement.
But... Was it every single piece of movement, or was it 135 foot, 130, 125?
It's every single piece of movement.
Right, so it's 240 foot away from where we started.
Yes.
We've moved 160, we'll move 240 next time. We won't have a chance to drink water potion and get to the door.
No.
Fundamentally. So
your option
potion,
is you can...
Don't get to
it's built... It should be built, if I did it correctly, that you can either get to the door, or you can drink the potion. You can't do both. Because unlike the real world, this world is narratively satisfying and forces maximum amounts of character choice.
Yes, this discussion about feet is very narratively satisfying.
I'm glad that
how
Ben is
narratively
on board.
Satisfying and dramatic this discussion about 5 foot squares is.
I mean, having reached the door, I tell you, I found it quite
Decision time, Helen.
I'm slower than Cell. So yes. I'm going to drink the water breathing.
Okay, so
because I think that this tunnel is going to flood before.
So you're moving and then necking your potion?
Yeah.
That's fine. So your normal move distance is?
20.
But you successfully drink a potion without your head exploding or anything awful. So that's useful to know.
Thank you. Thank you, my dearest benefactor.
Whoa, all of this sash. You don't actually know if that is a potion of water breathing. It was just labelled as one.
Yeah.
Oh, my
Let's
God!
Move on. Zolf, you're up.
Run. I'm there, 240 foot, done.
Fab. I keep forgetting about the whole, like, normal movement speed thing now for Zolf. I keep assuming that your movement speed is, like, 15, and it's just not. It's just not.
I'm as fast as that.
Okay, in which case, then, the water furthest back is Azu currently, yes?
Yes.
What's your distance tracker?
I'm at 100.
Okay. The water has gone vroom down the corridor, and it's coming at you like an animal. For what it's worth, there is a couple of pieces of, like, detritus in there, but it's mostly just pure water powering towards you. it, because of the way the maths works, it is at your heels but has not overcome you. It's like... So I realise we have to sort of go slow-mo here. There is a literal wall of water, like champagne from a bottle, that mechanically speaking is exactly next to your 5-foot square, but not upon you. You are completely fine
in
every way.
How many squares does the water cover in a turn?
100.
Okay.
So I can run and still escape it next
time. No, you get eat by the water because you move 80 foot a turn, it moves 100 foot a turn. You only get eat a little bit by the water. And you've got water breathing.
You can breathe the water, Helen. You're going to be okay.
Yeah.
It
assuming
might be
that
like
pressure doesn't kill you.
Being
Helen,
punched
you're
going
to
in
be
the
okay.
Face.
I was going to say water, it's your turn. Water's already had its turn.
Although, going to make this very clear, if all this discussion of drowning is a bit much...
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know.
No, drowning itself is fine.
Okay.
It's drowning in a small space.
Well, the space has opened up.
The space
has
So one problem was replaced by a less bad, but still very bad problem.
In fact, there's more space than you know what to do with it.
Yeah.
It's about to get you.
This is fine because I am in a room with friends. Just to make this clear, like,
yeah,
I'm
sure.
Absolutely fine.
Yeah, yeah.
It freaks me out, but I'm not going to need a break.
Remind me what I need to do to open the door. Or is the door already open?
So the door is not already open. It's a submarine door that is a standard action to...
I do that.
Okay, cool. You are opening the door. You open the door.
Mm-hmm.
And it's open. Okay. Before it managed to activate any fort saves for anyone, you know that that was building up in the ears?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of seems to die down when you open the door. So that's a plus.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a...
There is. There's a very satisfying... And the other side of the doorway is pitch black.
Cool. Well, having opened the door, I will step through it and hold it open for the others and yell, quick!
From the dad advice column, be quick. Be careful, like, all useful advice.
Look, you know, sometimes
it's a panic
it's
situation.
Worth being
yeah.
clear.
Sell is good dad.
Sell is good dad, it's true. Azu, you're up.
Sell is many parents.
You use
yep.
the run action, do you?
I do.
Mum.
How much distance do you cover with the run action?
Another 80.
Another 80.
Drunk dad.
Bringing
yeah.
your total
drunk
to...
Uncle.
180.
180, so you are...
180!
You are...
A cuddly toy!
Okay. So,
I wish we were being chased down by a flood of cuddly toys.
Me too.
They're the most annoying Pokemon in Sword and Shield.
Cuddly toy?
There's like the stuffed bear one. It's a fighting one that's really common and you just keep...
Oh, I'm so sorry.
There's also one stuffed bear one that constantly has a nose drip because he's an ice cuddly bear.
Oh.
And so it's just gross. He, like, when he does an ice move, he sniffs in and goes... It's
Zolf, you're up. There are no cuddly toys, drippy or otherwise. Unless you count maybe Azu.
Oh.
So I'm at the door. The door is open. I can see into the door. What's in the door?
Oh, yes, of course you can. Dark vision. Cool. So on the other side of the door, there is a large mouldy sign hanging from the ceiling, which says the words respite, you think. Maybe. It seems to be written in English. Inside are, how do I put it? I want you to imagine, like, a submarine aesthetic, okay? And then try to superimpose a lounge on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
It has the same walkways around as a couple of the flooded rooms that you've seen, you know, the raised up stuff.
So it's quite a big room.
It's quite a big room. It has shelves on the outside, and it has a lounge, in inverted commas, in the middle. Someone's put a tatty rug in the middle, put some big armchairs.
It's like a lounge on a cruise ship, I'm getting that vibe.
Someone has gone, get some secondhand furniture and make me a lounge in this large engine room, please.
Sure. Okay.
That's all the detail you can really get.
I'll walk in and... Sorry.
I'll saunter!
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Take the action...
Meander through.
Not meander.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'll run in.
Yep.
Not mechanically.
Sure, sure.
And then...
God forbid.
Depending on, you know, what the exact mechanism is, compose myself in some way to help Sel close the door once Azu gets in.
That's fine. I will just allow this fudging slightly because it requires it.
Good.
Good. The water moves 100 feet. It has now moved 200 feet, meaning it has now reached...
Me.
Azu. Azu, can you please give me a reflex save? Ah, no. Could you please give me a really good reflex save?
It's going to be terrible, and you know this. What's it say?
Oh my gosh, Helen, roll no!
It says a 3.
That's a really bad one.
A raw roll.
That's 7.
Okay, let's make this a little bit more exciting. Can people please pass me all the D6s you can muster?
Oh,
that is not getting edited out, but it is getting bleeped. Okay. That's a satisfying rattle. Listen to that.
10d6, by the way.
More than. People miscounted.
Oh. All right.
Okay, Bryn, are you ready to tally?
There's a
big mix in this.
Actually, pretty average.
Bryn, the human calculator, are you ready?
Yep.
Wait, I'm going to write these down.
I will read you out the numbers and you tally for me. Six. 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 Five. Five. Three. Three. A two. And four ones.
40 exactly.
Holy smoke. I didn't even start adding that.
He's good, isn't he?
It took me that long to just write it down.
He's dead useful. So, what happens is the following. Oh, that is all bludgeoning, if it matters.
No.
Okay.
It doesn't matter what kind of pain it is. I know I'm in pain.
Exactly.
You can
right.
be resistant to certain damage types.
In fact, you can be immune to certain types.
I'm immune to disease. If you told me that this water was horribly infectious,
it's really, if it was were sewage, you'd be fine.
It's really clean.
If you were a Skelebones, you'd still take max damage. But if it was a wall of knives, you'd take half damage.
Unfortunately, you are not a Skelebones, and it's not a wall of knives. And
damn! I wish it were a wall of knives.
Thus, you take 40 bludgeoning damage. What happens is the water completely overwhelms you and overruns you. The first thing that happens is a chunk of stanchion just smacks into your head, which affects the reflex, and you are being bundled along. Unfortunately, due to your heavy armor and so on, the wall of water passes beyond you. It doesn't sweep you along. You are basically left behind being...
I was really hoping that she'd be shot
with
forward,
it still moving
like
on
beyond.
So was I, yeah.
On a, okay.
But you can breathe.
What I would say is I am now happy to tell you it is an actual potion of water breathing.
Yay!
And I leave it to you as to whether Azu is willing to just give a nice big gasp or how you come to that realisation. But yes, you do have mechanical.
I think she probably does, like, gasp just by being like hit in the back of the head.
Yeah, well, you took 40 damage. You'd have all the breath knocked out of you and have to be like,
yeah.
And on that, we'll take a lovely, calming, relaxing break.
For you.
For me.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And welcome back. So, Sel, you are up. Currently, you can see Zolf extremely ready to close a door.
I'm ready my action to also close the door when when Azu comes through.
Oh, I have to take your first answer. You will close the door when I come through.
No. Azu.
Okay, in which case then, Azu, can you please give me a reflex save? A separate one to the first one, obviously.
What's it say?
That's a 9.
Okay, cool.
That's 13.
You are now mechanically swimming.
Ooh.
Because you are engulfed in water, and you are swimming in an extremely strong current whilst wearing heavy armour. What would you like to do? There is an extremely strong current pushing you towards your friends.
Oh, good! I swim!
Okay, in which case then?
What do you mean? What else can I do?
You're taking armour check penalties, but yes.
I can't do anything else other than swim.
It's completely reasonable.
Ride the wave.
But he will be asking you for some...
Don't allow him to say okay to me like that.
He's going to ask you for some silly gubbins because it's Pathfinder, and Pathfinder is nothing if not 500 pages of silly gubbins.
One of my red cards is Alex saying okay.
So no, presumably you're using a full round action.
Yes, I want to get to the door as swiftly as possible.
That's fine. Okay, can you please give me a swim check?
I have ride. Can I ride a wave?
You cannot ride.
Are you on a surfboard?
Your first reflex save, had it been high enough, would have allowed you to ride the wave, but here we are.
16.
What's your modifier?
You have Agile Halfplate, which has an armor check penalty of -7. So your roll was 16.
Mm-hmm.
Your strength is +3.
Mm-hmm.
17, 18, 19.
Mm-hmm.
-7 takes us down to 12.
Mm-hmm. That's a respectable swim check.
And
the current is helping you.
Okay, so what you have managed to do is you make no progress under your own power towards the door, but it's fine. You don't need to use your own power to get to the door. You're getting there anyway. You move 50 feet closer to the door, which is slower than the water, but your armor's having a massive impact on things. But you do manage to maneuver yourself in such a way that you aren't smashing into the sides, you aren't scraping along the bottom, and you're still oriented the right way up. Pretty much you used all of your strength and power and swimming to stay upright and facing the right direction, which is no mean feat.
So by my account, this is 230 foot now.
Mm-hmm. Sounds right to me.
The door is 240 foot.
That is correct.
Zolf, can you see Azu out of the door?
I can.
Okay. She looks absolutely terrified.
Okay.
She is freaking out.
Okay.
Okay. I want to make that clear that she's a very scared large orc. I was going to say little girl, but no, she's a large orc.
She's a large independent orc.
And she is terrified for her life.
Notice. For a legitimate reason, I'll have you know.
It's not a phobia when it's freaking logical.
So, at this point then,
mm-hmm.
water...
Yeah.
...plows into the room. I am going to go out on a limb and say that readying to close the door includes readying yourself to
bracing.
Not stand in the doorway.
No, no, no.
Literally framed in it, ready to get hit by the water.
Yeah, at
and
the very
actually
least,
includes
we're holding on to something.
Standing to the side and bracing.
Yeah.
That does mean you're going to take some bludgeoning damage, but not... all the bludgeoning damage.
Do you not want to take a reflex?
Yes, but that will affect how much, not whether you take it.
Half saves.
Do I need to?
Yes, please.
If only we're playing 5th ed and we could get advantage!
No, I don't think I'd give it you just a bit.
Yeah,
point.
Well, 23 anyway, so you can go suck it.
Ben may be full of salt now. You wait till he's drowning in seawater.
My trick is I'm always salty.
I can't remember what I add to a reflex save.
Your reflex bonus, which is
it'll
half,
be like
about
halfway.
Just 10.
Okay, 12.
12?
Lucky. Yeah, you have a high bonus.
Well, that's by design.
Yeah.
Unlucky roll.
Yeah. Cool. Oh, sorry, yes, not lucky. Clever.
Yeah.
Zolf, you can halve this. Sel, you cannot.
They have so little hit point.
19.
Round up or down?
Round down in this situation.
Cool. 8. Oh, loads of hit points.
it's just pure bludgeoning damage, getting bashed by some of the stuff that hit Azu, blah blah blah. You see all of this water and go, you know what I might do? I'm still ready to close the door, but I might just sidestep up. So water is now
hanging on,
plowing into the room.
Yeah.
You can't have an accurate estimate without taking the time to do so. This room will be filled extremely quickly. Mm-hmm. We're not talking like, oh no, you have 10 rounds. Like, imminently it will be full.
Yeah.
At which point then, Sel, you are up. Your readied action did not trigger, so you can just re-ready your action if you want.
I will re-ready the action.
That's fine. In which case, then, Azu, you are up. You are 10 feet away from salvation. I assume you would like to make a full round action to swim in?
Yes, please.
Okay, give me a swim. Check.
Yay!
Okay, 19 minus 4 is 15.
15? Get you. Do you want to know what happens if you use your full round action to swim?
What?
You move at half your move speed, which is 10 feet.
The water is helping.
True, yeah, but there's nothing quite like feeling like you designed something correct when you manage it with exactly 0 feet to spare if I ignore the current.
Yeah, plus 50.
Yeah, plus 50.
Do I smack it into the back?
And
yeah, what?
So here's,
our ready actions go.
Here's what happens.
Yeah.
So, Azu... you swim in the direction, but you grossly overshoot. You do slam into the far wall, but not in a damaging way, because your swim check was sufficiently
high. Just a comedic
high.
Way.
You basically...
I'm laughing at your little swim mime.
This is what swimming looks
doggy
like.
Doggy paddle. But the dog is confused.
At the same time, the readied action to close the door goes off. However, you are currently trying to close the door on the ocean.
Yes.
So this is going to require a sort of attached strength check.
Yes. Although I'm hoping that this door is designed as a bulkhead... to be able to do this.
So what I am going to do is not allow one of you to do a strength check and the other to assist. I want a separate strength check from both of you, please.
Okay. That is a 50. Ooh, that's
a 13.
15 and a 13, okay.
Pretty good on raw strength.
You know he'd be good at closing a door.
So, you make some headway, but are not able to completely close the door. The force behind it is incredibly huge. It's basically standing going, I reckon I've got this avalanche. Like, you are able to start closing the angle, so you are angling all of the water around it, but physically closing it completely still
no.
is not possible at this point.
Now, that's a shame. However, that was on Azu's turn, right?
Correct.
Which means that I get another go before the water gets to go.
This is an accurate statement.
Because we're ready, right?
You are correct in Good. That you get to go before the water is. And I will say this, you have made progress. It's not a case of, oh, we have failed, it is all damaged. It's just like, you wanted to close the door, you've managed less than closing the door fully.
It's like cool. half closed.
That kind of thing, okay.
yeah. I'm going to continue to try to close the door.
Give me a strength check.
That is a 20.
Oh, better. Yeah, okay. You were all both kind of expecting this. You continue to make progress. You reckon if, okay, narratively, if you were both to give a good final push, you might be able to manage it.
Yeah.
But you do have to bear in mind that the more closed the door is, the harder it is to close the yeah. remaining distance.
It's a badly designed door.
It is. I'll address that later. Yes,
I mean, Showin's an idiot and has is massively egotistical, so probably didn't.
You
worry
are correct.
About
this
it.
Is poorly designed.
Yeah, but that's notable. That this is not built for what it's currently doing, which is the only thing that it should be doing.
Correct.
Yeah.
In which case, then the water goes.
Oh no.
The water level rises within the room by 10 feet.
Oh, that should make it easier to close the door.
That's true. And also, hopefully, we've slowed the flow by getting the door a bit closed.
Yes. So, technically, here's the thing. I am not going to require checks from you, because I'm feeling very generous. The water level is now above your heads. If, however, you choose to stop bracing the door, you will bounce up to the water level. The water has risen by 10 feet within the room. It's now 10 feet off the floor. You are not a 10-foot-tall character.
Yeah.
So I'm underwater again.
We're all underwater.
Or everyone's underwater.
Well, I mean,
but I can breathe.
I guess arguably Cell could choose to float.
Which is why I'm up to. Cell, you're up. You're currently underwater.
Cell is not very strong, but they are going to try.
Okay.
Aww. Good luck.
Natural 20.
Somewhere, like, from the depths of their heart, their lanky limbs lock into position. And really, it's about the positioning?
See,
like, it's working out where the badly tuned weight of this door is and working out how to squish it in right, just the right way.
Cell is not a strong character.
No.
But what Cell has is a very strong understanding of the concept of leverage.
Yes. Yes.
I am happy as part of the narrative thing to basically go, this isn't going to work, hang on.
I was actually thinking, could I use a knowledge engineering check instead of strength, but I did sort of assume you wouldn't allow that.
I wouldn't have, but that's effectively what you're doing, yeah. is you've just gone, ah, okay, right, yes, brace, yes, and you've basically grabbed a, like, pipe or something,
yep.
have jammed it in, and the combination of his check and your check, you are successfully managing to hold the door closed now.
Oh, no.
To be clear, the door is not locked, you still need to do the rotation. Mm-hmm. However, the force that is acting on it will have reduced. You are underwater, although it is still trying to equalise. You've basically, with the Nat 20, almost sort of jammed it. You cannot, to be explicit, you specifically, Cell, cannot leave. If you do, it will unbar itself.
That is fine. That's exactly what we need to happen in this situation.
Exactly.
Okay.
Azu, you are up. You are still technically underwater.
Yes.
However, you notice it's a lot easier to swim now.
The water is not insane.
Basically. The water is not actively trying to kill you, it just might kill you.
Am I able to swim over to the door and assist in locking it?
Honestly, no. While swimming at full speed, you will not cover the distance of the
room. Can you, like, push off the wall, though?
No.
Yeah, you're at 10 foot now, best case.
You flat out nailing your swim checks is 10 feet. Full round action to move.
How wide
across is the room?
That's true.
About 40 feet by 40 feet by 40 feet.
Worth clarifying as well, as you can see in the dark, because...
Oh, yeah. So. What you see is chaos.
But Cell, it's just pitch black.
Yep.
Yep.
I think I'm still going to try and swim over to the door to
That's
help
fine.
My friends.
Give me the swim check.
Okay.
What was it?
That's a 7, so that's a 3 on my swimming.
You don't manage to make any progress. Swimming is brutal in armour. Swimming is brutal in armour. Mm-hmm. You have been right to be scared up to this point.
I just got hit into a wall.
It's fine.
Pissing myself. No one notices.
That's not true. The water level rises infinitesimally. Right. I'm going to stick with this because...
I mean, the water has been an enemy in this initiative slash combat situation. I did not think the first time someone would piss on an enemy.
Zolf, you're up.
I lock the door.
That's fine. You use your standard action. You don't need to do a strength check because that bit of the door doesn't work like that.
Cool. Now that I've done that...
Correct. I am happy to drop everyone out of initiative order.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still underwater.
Yeah,
but
we are still...
Bob to the top.
Here's the thing. So, I am happy to drop everyone out of initiative order with a couple of pieces of understanding from everyone. Zolf and Sel, though swimming, are currently at the edge of the room. I will not require swim checks if you are just navigating via the edges of the room.
I am great levitation.
There we go. Azu is currently underwater, but able to breathe, so he's under no time constraint to be on the time constraint of water breathing, which I think is like measured in like an hour or so.
Can I just walk across the floor?
Yes. In fact, it's easier for you, though slower.
I'll remember that.
It's probably 10 foot around, but you don't have to make a check, would be my guess. Mm.
You can only do it in perfectly still water, which this is.
Yeah.
So you can...
Clomp.
did you get your wish, Alex?
Not quite. So I may have confessed in the break that what I really wanted a little bit was Azu to be locked outside like a big daddy, but here we are.
I think Alex had been playing a lot of Bioshock.
It's fine. It's fine. You know what? The game's been that long. I may have designed this when Bioshock was new. I don't know. Right, I am going to return...
Was before this podcast existed.
I'm going to ask everyone what you're initially doing and then carry on from there. So, Zolf, what are you doing from this point?
So I'm actually looking around to see if there's a drain the room lever, something. Like, there are those cupboards and cobalt hatches. Mm-hmm. Assumedly underwater base, assumedly this could happen.
Give me a perception check.
Yep. 22.
You see a likely-looking lever. Like I said, the place, to be clear, is... All of the walls are covered in piping, pressure gauges, steam, and so on. There's quite a lot of levers and there's quite a lot of twisty things, however. You do see one that has literally, like, black and yellow striping on it. It has symbols written above it in Japanese.
But it looks like my knowledge of innate UX... as being a person who exists in the world, is like, that looks like the thing you press when things have gone wrong.
If it's not, whoever designed this is an absolute moron. That is clearly the right
That's
lever.
A problem.
Yeah.
Or especially devious. Some kind of villain. However, I'm going to scoot over there and pull that lever.
With levitation, it's fine.
Not actually levitating, because it will pull me out of the water. I'm grab-handing.
Yeah, but that's my point, though. It is easy for you to navigate around the edges of this room.
Sure.
Like, no checks required, it's still water, it's actually comparatively trivial, it's just annoying.
Sure.
I know what Zolf is going to be doing. Sel?
So is Sel still underwater at this point?
Currently, yes, but we're kind of falling out of initiative order rather ungracefully.
Well, it's all completely dark to them.
Yes.
So they're going to take the potion of water breathing that they had in their hand.
Yep.
And then... allow themselves to bob upwards, but of course with no knowledge of whether they will actually
Sel suddenly
service.
Bobs upward above into air, apparently. Yeah.
And then shouts, could anyone tell me what's going on? I'm just an innate curiosity. I've been accused of this before. Just, it's been great fun, guys, but I can't see for nubbins. I would offer many nubbins in return for being able to see. It is not fun. I have some things I could do to be able to see, but I can only do those for a short period of time. And I, you know that thing where, like, you have something that's a limited resource and then you never use it? And you get to the end of a difficult day and it turns out that you should have used it. You should really have used it, but in the end, you actually just don't use it. By the way, is there limited air? I suppose that doesn't really matter. Folks, if you have not taken your potion of water breathing, I really recommend that you do.
I love them so much.
I'm just trying to get some information. Is it? Are you guys alive?
So why?
Little buddies, folks, ladies and gents, and anyone else, please.
So what I would?
Are you alive? Oh no! Starts like waving their hands around.
What I just want to very
just
very...
like breaststroke, but like so that their hands are like, folks, are you alive? Oh no! What if I'm alone down here?
So what I want to point out is that both of us are currently underwater, which means that that's basically unintelligible, and we can probably just hear like a cell-toned mumble.
We can just see their legs. That's what most people end up hearing after more than 10 or 15 seconds.
To say out of character, that is likely why we're not responding to this. We're not being cruel on purpose.
Okay, so it's... So we're alone in a dark underground... I wonder, I mean, there any science experiments I can get done while I'm down
here? I'm going to jump to Azu quickly. Azu, where are you walking to underwater?
I'm going to walk to the door.
Yep. That's you for the next 5 minutes.
Can I pull on Sel's leg?
No, wait. It's gonna...
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
It's gonna...
That is, oh, my word. Brutally cruel, but...
Okay. I'm gonna...
No, just a
yeah,
nice little turn.
I get it, but...
No, whoosh!
Yeah.
And also, they won't know what that is.
So, allow me to give you your final tableau for the episode. I'm sorry it's not been a very Hamid-heavy one, but people were picking a fight with the ocean itself.
No, the ocean picked a fight with us. We did not instigate
that. I did
that.
Nothing.
Really, the whale did. So it's sort of like you're in a bar and like there's someone that
guys, the whale was
something.
A corpse.
The whale spilled the ocean's drink.
Who?
And we got blamed.
Yes.
Who killed the whale?
It's the big squid.
So, obviously. I am going to give all of this from Sel's perspective to close the episode out. In the pitch darkness, as Sel talks to themselves in order to sort of keep themselves going, I suppose, there is a loud chonk. An alarm starts ringing loudly, and something grabs their foot. And we will end the episode there. Chatterbird is the best.
Utterly monstrous.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 international license. Today's episode was directed by Alexander J. Newell and produced by April Sumner. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at @TheRustyQuill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail@rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord via the website or on Reddit at r/rustyquill. Thanks for listening.
Really concerned by these two tally marks, which I don't know if it's an 11 or two tally marks tracking something that I
have one of those as well.
Because I've got my
on the
channel,
back of my sheet.
See, I've got channel positive energies down here, so I don't know
Same.
What these are.
Alex's face says,
"Do you know what it is?
Sweet.
Do you know what it is?
You
test me.
Gone now.
What they are is strikes."
Once Azu gets through the door, I close it.
Once Azu specific, please.
Azu specific.
I didn't hear my.
Not a blue whale.
That's
not
fine.
An octopus. Not the first living thing, and then a little fish, and I'm like, oh, the little fish is
eating. Close the door.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.